Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is December 23rd, and from the United States, we hear from Sister Beth McCormick, a member of the Dominican Sisters of Hope, who lives in Croton-on-Hudson, New York. Her preaching today is entitled, Names Matter.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all the neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." Names are important. A name becomes central to the identity of its bearer. One of the first things I was taught by other members of the prison chaplaincy team with whom I ministered was to learn inmates' proper names as soon as possible as a mark of respect for them. They so often heard only something like, "Hey, you." Names matter. In light of the gospel passage we just heard from the first chapter of Luke, Elizabeth and Zechariah have received a divinely chosen name for their newborn son. And the name did not conform to traditional practice of that time, that of naming a firstborn son after his father. Relatives and neighbors attending the rite of this child's naming had come to share in the joy of Elizabeth that God had shown great mercy toward her. They were amazed and not a little confused when the suggested name, Zechariah, was promptly dismissed. Elizabeth firmly announced, "No, he will be called John." They could hardly believe the break with tradition, even when they received confirmation from Zechariah, who wrote on a tablet, "John is his name." The neighbors remained awestruck. They spread word about their wonder-filled experience throughout the hill country of Judea. People were deeply moved and filled with curiosity about this newborn child to be called John. What would become of him, they wondered. Obviously, he was destined for some form of greatness. They could not know what we in the 21st century do know. We know the answer to their question, "What then will this child be?" We know the major role John was to play in salvation history. We know, for example, that John, while still in Elizabeth's womb, recognized the presence of Jesus still in the womb of Mary. We know that he appeared in the desert of Judah, announcing the kingdom of God, that he announced the coming of the Messiah, who would baptize in the Spirit and fire, for which John's baptism of repentance was merely preparation. To me, one of the most endearing aspects of John's personality and character is his plain and simple knowledge and total acceptance of who he is and who he is not. With genuine humility, assuming the role assigned to him by God. Revelation of this quality comes to us clearly in a passage in John's Gospel, chapter 3, which reads in part, "You yourselves can bear me out. I said, I myself am not the Christ. I am the one who has been sent in front of him. The bride is only for the bridegroom. And yet the bridegroom's friend, who stands there and listens, is glad when he hears the bridegroom's voice. This same joy I feel, and now it is complete. He must grow greater. I must grow smaller." The testimony of Jesus himself to John makes John the greatest of all Israelite heroes, a witness to the truth, a witness to the light. In the story of salvation history, he who was divinely named John plays a very significant role. Today, there are very many of our brothers and sisters, thousands of homeless people, elderly people living alone, people in prison and mental hospitals, those on the margins of our society, who are, for all practical purposes, to the rest of us, invisible and unnamed. On the day that I was reading, or rather writing, this reflection, I received a letter requesting funds from the Coalition for the Homeless in New York City. The opening words of their request letter read as follows. "A homeless woman died on the floor of Grand Central Station. No one knew her name." Indeed, as John the Baptist would attest, names matter.